The third chapter of the book of John's Gospel is that meeting that the Lord Jesus Christ had with a man called Nicodemus. He was, the Bible tells us, he was a ruler of the Jews. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. He had a concern with all his religion, with all his position in his religious establishment. He knew that all was not well. Of course, he had a fear of man. He didn't want to come to be seen. And the Bible says he came by night, but thank God he came. Thank God he came. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ looked at Nicodemus and he wanted to enter into a conversation. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And he wanted to enter into a conversation about the miracles that he had seen and how these miracles happened. But the Lord Jesus wasn't there to excite his speculation. The Lord Jesus Christ went straight to it and he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was a pointed preacher. He was a straightforward preacher. He didn't try to beat around the bush. He didn't come for the speculations of man. He came to bring the word to the heart of Nicodemus. And he told him on down in verse number 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. But you know, my friend, it is very possible for to tell a person that they need to be saved, you tell a person they need to be born again, and yet many people miss the opportunity to tell them how to be saved. And you'll notice when we come to the verse number 16, the best known verse in the Bible, John 3, chapter 16, this was spoken by the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus. And in that verse, the Lord Jesus Christ brought the glory of the gospel right to his heart to show him how to be saved, how to be born again, how to be right with God. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want us to look at this verse that is so familiar. And yet, my friend, perhaps you were taught it, maybe your first memory verse in Sunday school, maybe the first verse of the Bible that you were ever taught, maybe at a mother's knee, John 3 and 16, about the love of God. And yet, knowing the verse, you don't know the Savior. And what an awful thing for you to know the gospel, to know what the Bible says is God's way of salvation, and yet to miss salvation, to know not the Lord Jesus Christ, and to die in your sin and go to a Christless and lost hell forever. What a tragedy with a gospel verse in your ear and even on your lips. You know, D.L. Moody was a great preacher, American preacher of the word. And the story is told how a young man called Henry Moorhouse, he was known as a teenage gang leader. He was walking past a circus in Manchester in 1861. And as he was going past, this young gang leader, he heard a noise coming from inside in that venue. And he thought there was a fight going on. And he, being a gang leader, in actual fact, he carried a gun as well. This young lad called Henry Moorhouse, thinking a fight was on, he was ready to go into the fray, and so he jumps in, not knowing there wasn't a fight on. It's actually a gospel mission. And there in that tent, he heard the preacher preach on the prodigal son. How that a father loved his son, and how that the father rejoiced in his wayward boy was brought home. And how he said he was lost, but is found. And you know, as that young lad Moorhouse heard the preaching of God's word that night about that prodigal son, he realized he was talking about him. The Spirit of God revealed to his young heart that that was him. That prodigal, that boy in the mountain of sin, that boy who was wasting his life in riotous living and living for sin, was him. The Spirit of God gripped his heart. Henry Moorhouse got gloriously and wonderfully saved and became known as England's boy preacher. Well, he had heard about D.L. Moody, and he met him at one of his crusades. And whenever he was talking to Moody, he invited himself. He said, "Mr. Moody, I would love to come to your tabernacle, to your church, and I would like to preach there." Well, of course, Mr. Moody hadn't invited him to come. And so therefore he thought to himself, "Well, I'll just put that off." But you know, young Moorhouse wasn't to be put off, because he wrote a letter to Moody when he went back to America. He sent a telegram to him and said, "You know, Mr. Moody, I want to come and preach for you." Mr. Moody didn't recognize the telegram, and he just didn't answer it. And so he sent another telegram, and this went on until Moorhouse could take it no more, and he sent him a telegram, "Mr. Moody, I'm coming to Chicago." And he did. He landed there. It was a Thursday. Mr. Moody was going outside the city of Chicago to another meeting. And so he talked to his people who were in the office, and he said to him, "Listen, you just tell him he can preach tonight. He can preach tonight in my place, in my absence." Well, Moody went away, and he came back on Saturday. And when he came back on Saturday, he asked his wife, he said to Mrs. Moody, he said, "Tell me, what about the boy preacher? How is he doing?" Mrs. Moody said to him, she said, "You know, Dwight," she said, "you know, this young lad has preached two sermons. He preached on Thursday night, he preached on Friday night, and he preached on John 3, verse 16. But I want to tell you, Dwight, he didn't preach like you." Minnie was somewhat surprised. He said, "What do you mean he didn't preach like me?" "Well," she said, he tells the worst of sinners that God loves them. He tells the worst of sinners that God loves them. Well, it came to the Sunday morning. Young Moorhouse was still preaching that morning in Moody's tabernacle. And he got up to stand to preach. He says, "My text this morning is in John 3, verse number 16. He preached in the same text for the third time. You know, D.L. Moody said this. "He just beat that truth down into my heart, and I have never doubted it. I never knew that God loved us so much. And my heart began to thaw," says Moody, "that I couldn't keep back the tears when I thought about God's love for sinners just like me." But he said this, "I used to preach that God was behind the sinner with a double-edged sword ready to hew them down. But," he said, "I have done with that. And I preach that God is behind him with love, and that he's running after the sinner, and the sinner's running away from love." My friend, tonight I want us to look at this verse of God's word. Luther said that this was the Bible in miniature. Spurgeon said, "It's the essence of the gospel. It's the gospel in brief." Remember, it was said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's look at it tonight. Notice, first of all, the greatest experience. God so loved. The greatest experience, God's love. You know, it's amazing how the two young people can fall in love together. Maybe they haven't met, and somehow they're immediately, whenever they see each other, something happens in their heart and they fall in love, and then they decide to get married, and then they settle down together as husband and wife. I think of a couple in Macrofelt. 64 years they were together. And then after 64 years, yes, their love was tested. Yes, they faced trials and faced troubles too, just like every other family in the rearing of their children. But they stood together. No matter how difficult the days were, they stood together. And 64 years they were together. I buried the husband on a Thursday, and I buried the wife the following Thursday. Just 1 week in between. Tell me what kept them together, friend, in the difficult times. It was their love. The human experience of love, the great expression of love. You know, we have that evidence to us day by day. We think of the love of a mother. How that a mother's love was an amazing thing. How that she bears that child, she carries that child, she brings that child forth, and she loves that child. It's an amazing thing, the love, the bond, and the mother and the child. I experienced that as a boy. I never doubted my mother loving me. And I tell you, she loved me so much, I remember sitting outside her bedroom and I heard her praying for me. That God would keep his hand upon her child because I'd come to faith in Jesus Christ. She didn't want the world to hurt me. She didn't want me to be carried up or taken up in the things of the world. She didn't want me to go back into the world and to backslide. No, my mother loved me and she prayed for me. She taught me right from wrong. And yet the Bible says this in Isaiah, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Then it says this, yea, they may forget. In my years of ministry, I've seen mothers walking away from her children. And yet, my friend, she bore that child. I think of a dear woman. And she got caught up, she left her husband and she left her children. And she went out into the world to another man. Her husband loved her very much. It was a Sunday afternoon, the sun was shining in the heavens. And he heard that his wife was a certain place along the shore. And she would be there, and so he wanted to go to see her. He got the children into the car. And they sat in the car with Daddy as he drove to this particular place. And then he stopped the car and he looked in the distance. He could see her walking down hand in hand with her newfound lover. And it broke his heart. He said to the children, stay here. I want to go down the street here. And he went down the street. And he walked up behind her. He called her by name. She looked around, but she just walked on. But you know, next thing, he could feel a tug at his leg. It was his wee children. And the two wee children were standing there at Daddy's leg, pulling the leg. And they saw their mommy, and they ran up to their mommy. And they took a hold of mommy's hand and said, Mommy, Mommy, come home. Come home. He said, I'll never forget. She just pushed her children away. She took the hand of her newfound lover and she walked away from her children. And he caught the two in his arms and he held them in his arms and he brought them back to the car and to home. Can a mother forget her suckling child? Yeah. She may forget. That's what God said. The love of a father. My friend, the most amazing story that Jesus ever told was the story about the prodigal son. It was the Savior who told that story of a father who loved his boys. No mother's mentioned in that scripture. I believe mama died, perhaps in childbirth. Dad was left to rear up the children, and he did what he could and did. He reared them well, as best as he could. And then one day, his younger boy came to him and put his finger under his father's nose, and he says, Father, you give me. You give me what's coming to me, and I want it now. I can't wait until you die. You see, friend, it was the time he would get it whenever Dad would die, but he couldn't wait on his father's death. He says, give me now. You know, that dad looked at his boy, and he knew something. That boy's heart was out in the far country, friend, before his feet ever went to the far country. His boy was already gone. You say, why did the father divide unto his son? Because he knew, my friend, as many another child, you can never tell them, my friend, they'll be taught the hard way because they won't listen. And the world will teach you lessons, let me tell you, my friend, that they'll never learn anywhere else. Because the world doesn't care about your broken heart. When the father gave him his living, He took it and he walked down. I see him walking down that dusty pathway, friend. He never looks back. He doesn't care about that. All he's got, his pockets are full. And I see him whistling down that dusty pathway out into the far country. And then he goes out and he spends his money, the Bible says, in riotous living. Yes, with harlots in the world. Never thinks of home. And then, my friend, he comes and he spends everything. And you know what he finds out? Nobody wants him. Nobody has time for him anymore. He spent everything. He's in want, and he joins himself to a stranger of that country, and he feeds the swine. And as he looks down, as he feeds the swine, and he reaches for his hand, and he takes it, he's so hungry. He even longs for the food that the swine eats, because nobody gives him anything. And as he sits there at that swine trough, for the first time in years, he thinks of home. He says, my father, it's the first time it's mentioned, my father's servants have food enough and to spare, but I perish for hunger. I'm so hungry. Then he says, I'll rise and I'll go to my father. But boy, you've let your dad down. Boy, you shamed your father. You went out and your pockets were full, and look at you, the stench of the swine are upon you. Nothing but filth and dirt. I can hear a voice saying, Dad will never want you. He'll never want you. You've let him down. You took everything he could get and wasted it all. The Bible says, listen, when he was a great way off, the father saw him. You know why, friend? Because the father had been waiting all the time. Father's heart never left that boy. That boy left his father. But father never forgot him. And he was standing looking down the dusty path when he sees a broken body coming down, bent over, filthy. Nothing hardly on him. And then he recognizes, my boy. And the father takes to his heels and he runs. And he runs as fast as he can go, and he falls upon his boy's neck. And he kisses him again and again and again. He says, my son. My son. You see, he loved him. Father's love. Remember, used the wee verse of a song we used to sing whenever we were children. A mother's love's a blessing. No matter where you roam, keep her when she's living, for you'll miss her when she's gone. Love her as in childhood, though she be old and gray. You'll never miss a mother's love till she's buried beneath the clay. Mother's love, a father's love, a child's love. You know, as a parent, there's nothing more wonderful coming into the house and your children run and reach up their arms. You lift them up and they put their arms around your neck and say, Daddy, Daddy, I love you. I love you. You know, the wonderful thing is they mean it. They mean it. I really love you. But just as we read, friend, a child can forget his father or mother. But here's a love that's different. God so loved. Think of it, my friend. All the wonder of it, all the majesty of it, all the magnitude of it. God so loved. God so loved. You know, our love's conditional. Our love's fleeting. Our love can pass away. But God said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Isn't that amazing? God loves me with an everlasting love. I don't deserve it. I don't merit it. But oh, praise God, I experience it. It says concerning our Savior, having loved his own, he loved them. He loved them on to the end. Ephesians chapter 3. That may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the depth and the height and the length of the love of God. God so loved. And the wonderful thing is this, my friend. I never lay down my head upon a pillow outside of his love. Thank God he loves me. The wee chorus says, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. There is the greatest experience, friend, God's love. But then notice the greatest enemies. It says, God so loved the world. You see, we greet those that greet us. We can smile at those that smile back at us. We love those who love us back. But God's love that is written in this book, my friend, it's a different love. It says in the book of Romans chapter number 5, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us. He commends that love to us tonight. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commends his love to sinners. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We are enemies to God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he first loved us. God loved. The hymn writer says, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation's full at highest cost and offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, God's love for sinners. God commends that love to sinners. Listen tonight, you say to me, but God couldn't love me. I want to tell you, my friend, that's the one that Christ died for. Sinners. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. Of course, there are none. But he said, I came to call sinners to repentance. That while we were enemies, man's a rebel against God, my friend. Man takes all the blessings from the hand of God every day. Let me tell you, you're blessed tonight that you're able to sit in those seats to hear this message. There's many others that have never been blessed or haven't been blessed or aren't blessed that way. And they can't come. But you have taken the blessings of God, friend. He's given you breath for another day. He's given you breath for another week. And yet you lived it without him. You rejected his son. You would not come that you might have life. But very quickly it says here, for God so loved the world. Yes, the greatest experience and the greatest enemies, but here's the greatest expression that he gave his only begotten son. You know, many people say, I love you. Isn't it amazing? They say today, I love you. And then they stand before a judge. Say, I don't love him anymore. They walk away. Yes, love today can be so cheap. It can be so empty. But not God's love. Here's the expression of God's love. God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. God loved you that he gave the darling of his bosom. Saul of Tarsus was a murderer. Saul of Tarsus, my friend, consented to the death of Stephen. He persecuted and bound and killed many of the people of God. And yet God followed after him. He was going to persecute the family of God and bring them back as prisoners. And then the light shone from heaven, and he fell in the dusty pathway. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul cried out, "Who art thou, Lord?" Here was a man who hated the name of Jesus. Here was a man that cursed God's son. Here was a man that killed the people of God. And yet God followed after. Why? Because God loved him. God loved him. Thank God, my friend, the most blessed thing is to know our sins forgiven. Outside New York, there's a cemetery. Everett Lane Cemetery, I think it's called. But there's a cemetery, and there's a headstone. There's no name on it. There's no date of birth, and there's no date of death. There's one word on it. Forgiven. Forgiven. Friend, that's all that matters. It's all that matters that we know our sins, which are many, are blotted out, never to be remembered against us anymore, to know that we have peace with God through the blood of his cross and therefore experience the peace of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." Amazing tonight. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Undeserving, unmerited. But I'm in God's family tonight. How did it happen? Listen. Because God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son and sent him to the cross to shed his blood for me. I've often thought of that story recorded in Genesis 22. And God came to Abram one day. God said to Abram, "Abram, I want you to take your son, the one you love, and I want you to take him to the Mount Moriah that I'll show you. And I want you to offer him a burnt offering." You know, Abram rose that morning. The Bible says he rose early. He was going to obey God. His heart was heavy. His boy went with him. The servants were with them, and they stayed a certain distance away and told them, "Stay thou here, and I and the lad will go yonder." And the father knew that he was going up that mountain, friend, that Mount Moriah. He knew that his boy would be put upon that altar, for God had said, "Slay thy son. Put him on the altar for a burnt offering." As he was going up, carrying the wood, the fire, the lad turned. He was a teenage boy. And he turned to his father and he said, "Father, here's the fire, here's the wood. But father, there's something missing. Where's the offering?" The father said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb. And yet he knew that he was to sacrifice his son. They went to the top of Mount Moriah, friend. And the father put the wood, and the son helped him to put the wood in order. And then the father reached forth for his boy. And he said, "Son, God's told me to offer you. Me, Dad?" "Yes, you, son." Notice nowhere in the scriptures does it tell us the boy fought with his father. And he let his father bind him. And the father put him there upon the altar. And his heart was breaking. But he had to go through with God, no matter what it cost. He was willing to go through with God. And he lifted the knife. And he's about to slay his son when God says, "Put not thy hand upon the lad." God knew he was willing to go through with him, to go through with God, no matter what it cost. Oh, it's so easy to sing the hymn, "Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy all upon the altar lay, the Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to you God's very best." But let me tell you, friend, if God told you to do that, tell me, what would you have done? The father looked around, and there caught in the thicket by the horns was a ram. And God said, "There's the sacrifice." I see that boy get up, and the father left him from the altar, and they bind that ram, and they place it and shed the blood of the ram upon the altar. And that boy would say, "You died instead of me. You took my place and shed your blood for me." Friend, that's the gospel. He was wounded for our transgressions. The Son of God was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and hallelujah, through his stripes we're healed. Thank God there's healing at the cross. Thank God there's healing through the blood. Thank God there's pardon through the blood of Jesus. Yes, there's no easy, no cheap salvation, friend. God gave his darling son and sent him from heaven's glory into the sin-cursed scene of time. And he went to Calvary and he died. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was the greatest expression. God said at Calvary, "Sinner, I love you. I love you." And maybe you're here tonight and you think nobody cares. Maybe you're so lonely. Maybe you think that nobody understands what you're going through. And then my friend, God gave his darling son and sent him to the cross. And friend, he was the substitute. Yes, the ram was slain instead of Isaac upon the altar. But God's lamb is the Lord Jesus. What did John the Baptist cry out whenever he saw Jesus coming? "Behold, the Lamb of God." There's the lamb. In Genesis, the question was, where's the lamb? Thank God in John's gospel, there's the lamb. God's lamb. God provided. You know what Abram said was so, so, so true. God will provide himself the lamb. Because God's son is the Lamb of God. But quickly, the greatest exclamation. In the light of what Jesus did for him. What does that mean to me? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Richard Baxter said that, thinking about this, he said that the word whosoever was the most comforting word for him in the Bible. He said if God had said that he would have mercy on Richard Baxter, he said, I'm so great a sinner, I would have thought that he meant another Richard Baxter and not me. But when God said, whosoever, whoever you are, he said, I knew that meant me. It included me. Maybe the old devil's saying to you tonight, friend, you're too far gone. Maybe some of you that have sat under the gospel for years in this church, maybe you've heard mission after mission, you've heard preacher after preacher, and you're still not saved. And if you died tonight, you'd be in hell for all eternity. If you dropped from that seat, it would be down into the caverns of the damned. But God has you here. God is here to listen to these words, that whosoever believeth in him, that's in Christ, God's son, God's sacrifice, God's lamb, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him. You know, I was thinking, isn't that what Paul and Silas told that old Philippian jailer when they asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's what Jesus says. That's what John 3:16 says. Whoever you are, my friend, irrespective of what your religious background is, my friend, let me tell you, it's not only a message for the Jew, it is also a message for the Greek. It's not only a message for the American or the British or the Irish or the European or the African. Praise God, it's for everyone. No matter what part of the world you belong to, thank God, whosoever believeth in him. You see, it's not the whosoever, it's him that matters. Salvation's in Christ. It's in Christ. You see, but I've got to work. No, my friend. Philippian jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? He thought he had to do something. He had to work something. There's a man came to the end of a mission. It was the final night of the mission. The lights went out. In actual fact, the mission was over. The preacher was closing the doors. He was walking away. And suddenly a young man who'd been in the meeting came running back. And he said, Mr., calling the preacher by his name, he said, sir, what must I do to be saved? I want to be saved. What must I do to be saved? And the preacher says, I'm sorry, friend. You're too late. You're too late. And the lad stood there and the tears running down his cheeks. He said, no, but listen, I know the lights are out. I know the mission's over, but surely it's not too late for me to be saved. No, says the preacher, but you're too late to do anything. Because the work's done. The work was done at Calvary, friend. You don't work to get saved. Praise God, Jesus cried on the cross of Calvary. It's finished, hallelujah. Work's done. You rest your soul in what Jesus has done. You put your faith and your trust in Christ. And in Christ alone, you claim the covering of the precious blood. For the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Yes, the greatest exclamation, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I love that wee verse. In Revelation chapter 7, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and all colors and all peoples and all tongues. Thank God we'll be there. redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You're not going to make it yourself, friend. There's only one way to heaven. It's in Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Hallelujah. Maybe you've been trying to work up something, friend. Listen, you're going to hell with your works in Jesus' name. Come and rest your soul tonight on the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, and you'll be as sure of heaven as if you're there. What a Savior. But the last thought is this. The greatest expectation, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God I'm not waiting until I get to heaven to know whether I make it or not. Thank God I have. I have everlasting life. And friend, let me tell you this, the day will come when I'll close my eyes in death. The Lord has not come. And I'll close my eyes in death, and people say, well, he's gone. I'll never be more alive in the presence of Jesus. I have now everlasting life, and I'll never perish. But I want to say this. Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ shall perish. And friend, you can take your works if that's what you want. You can have your sin if that's what you want. You can turn your back another day and another night and another week on Jesus Christ and go on your way. But remember, sin, when it is finished, will bring forth death, and you'll perish in hell forever. But remember, tonight you're walking past the cross. You can't say, I've never known. God, nobody ever told me. For I'm telling you what Jesus, my Savior, told Nicodemus. He not only told him he needed to be saved or needed to be born again, he told him how. And the gospel's this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Meeting's over, and I thank you for your patience. But I start with Moody. You know, whenever Moody heard Moorhouse preaching, in actual fact, he preached seven nights, seven times in that tabernacle for Moody. And Moorhouse preached every one of them on John 3:16. He said the last night, he said, I've been searching through my Bible to get another text. And he said, somehow, the Spirit of God says, no, go back to that. And it gripped Moody's heart. And Moody feared that that someone would come into his meeting house and would go out without knowing that God loved them. And you know what he did? The Bible says in 1 John, it says, God is love. And D.L. Moody, there were two gas lights on either side of the pulpit. And in the shades of them, the words were written, God is love. God is love. He feared that some preacher would come into the pulpit and fail to tell them that God loved the sinner. One night, it was a cold night. The meeting hadn't started, but the door was ajar of Moody's tabernacle. There was a man intoxicated with liquor, was walking down the street in Chicago. And he saw the door open a little, and he didn't know what it was or where it was. But he thought he would go in out of the cold. He opened the door to go in But as he went in, he saw those gas jets there and on the shades written, God is love. And he just, as if it burnt him, he closed the door and went back out onto the street. And he started to talk to himself. God is love. God is love. No, God is not love. God is not love. And then he said to himself, if God was love, he would love me. But God couldn't love a wretch like me. And he went on down the street. He was arguing with himself. And unknown to himself, and he came back right round the block. And he came back to the church again. The door was still open. The light was on, and he went in and he sat down in the back pew in the corner. Moody stood up in the pulpit and preached the word. But he noticed in that back corner a man sitting, his head bowed, and it seemed as if he was in tears. After the meeting was over, Moody went down and he talked to him. He said, sir, you're in trouble. You're troubled. He said, yes, I am. He said, tell me, sir, what part of my message spoke to your heart? He says, I want to tell you the truth, sir. I never heard a word of it. I never heard a word you said. He said, but you're in tears. He said, what is trouble? He says, you see those words up there? God is love. Could God love the likes of me? Look at me. Look at me. Could God love me? And Moody took down the book and he showed him how much God loved him. And that night that man was gloriously seen, broken by love. The love of God. Tell my friend, what are you going to do with God's love tonight? Trample over it? Just walk out tonight into the darkness and out into a Christless eternity? Or will you stop by faith at the cross, realize, Lord Jesus, you died for me. Shed your blood for me. Lord, save me. Forgive my sin. Put it away. Blot it out, Lord. Save me. What's your answer? What will you do with God's love? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word tonight. I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and write it in the hearts of each and every one that has heard. But please, God, don't let it stay in the ears or in the head. But, oh God, touch the heart. Draw men and women to Jesus tonight. The church can't save, the preacher can't save, the baptism and sacraments can't save, but thank you, God, you provided your Son and Jesus saves. Give grace to come. As every head is bowed and eyes are closed, friend. Sing a little verse of that hymn, just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. Listen, come to the cross tonight. Come to the cross. He hung upon that tree for you. Died for me. Will you come to him? Will you trust him? You say, how do I come, William? You come as you are, just as I am. O Lamb of God, I come. And as we sing this little verse, if there's a man, a woman, or a girl, say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed when we sing this verse, no one looking around, friend, listen. You indicate that desire. Raise your hand that I'll see that hand upraised. Preacher, preacher, point me to Jesus. When others are going out, friend, and they've left, we'll go privately and quietly to a room and we'll open the Word of God and we'll show you how you can know you're saved. Be sure of it.